Hey, listen up.
Yeah, we here and we locked in. Let's keep it going all the way to the top 10. We fear the turtle, so it's no other option. Fred and Ryan, just watch them. Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 22 of the Shell and Tell podcast. Fred and Ryan.
Hey, we're bringing the visuals this week, guys.
That's right. We're all pretty and shit.
We got the Birdland BS studio. We might as well use it every now and then.
That's right. Never done this before. So for all those that are out there that have never seen the Birdland BS show, welcome. Welcome to the studio.
Tuesdays.
Take your shoes off. Have a seat.
7:45?
7:30.
7:30. We moved it up. We got to get
Ryan, you're kind of like part of the thing now. You should know the time.
I'm supposed to be here tomorrow. Okay.
Good Lord. All right, man. So we got a lot to talk about on this week's show. It's been a tale of two very, very different games, very different weeks. As the Terps start 1-1 on the season, which we both predicted they would be 1-1 at this point, but definitely didn't happen the way we expected.
That was not the games we were expecting. No. As two people that sat in Minnesota and watched us get absolutely shit canned last year, that was not where we had projected the one of our 1-1.
Can Talia play like this against the best of the best in the Big Ten?
Well, we're going to quickly find out as the next 2 weeks are Penn State and Ohio State. So welcome to the Big Ten, sir. Right. Big Ten East is very welcoming.
That's right. And then on the other side of the ball, man, I think it's time we start talking about Chance Campbell's name for like the Butkus Award. This dude right now is playing lights out football.
Why not? He's tied for the lead for tackles per game in the whole nation, and he is second for solo tackles. So he should be in the conversation. I mean, it's going to take a few more games for that to actually matter, but
right.
I mean, if that's what it is after both an ass kicking and a win, it seems like that's going to be about the pace we're going to have.
We're about what? A quarter of the way through the season at this point?
Oh, yeah. We had eight games. We played two. We're at the first quarter pole. I like it. Let's go 500, boys.
That's right. That's right. And it's Penn State week. Penn State 0-2 on the season.
Yeah, I mean, all right. I don't feel so good about that. I mean, if they're trying to showboat and show off that they still got it, I guess they're gonna. We're either going to beat Penn State and celebrate on their grave, or they're going to have the old James Franklin foot on our throat like they did to us last year. We'll figure out which one very shortly.
That's right. And we did get news today, an unfortunate decommitment of 4-star local defensive lineman that we're going to talk a little bit about, too. The impact on what that means for the future recruits, some guys that are kind of in the fold now, hoping to stay along. Hopefully we keep them in the fold. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we do, we got to talk about this Northwestern game, even though we want to put that in the past. We haven't had a chance. We haven't put out a show since the Northwestern game, right? You and I both super excited for that game, had high expectations. The odds makers did not have high expectations for us in that game, and they proved to be right.
Well, they weren't even right. It wasn't a big enough point spread, even close. Losing 43-3.
Yeah.
After seeing 17 point dogs that we didn't believe in, pretty much everything went wrong.
Yeah. You can't point your finger at just one thing in this game. Literally everything went wrong. You know, and it's, I think, in summary with this game, I think the biggest thing that stood out to me was the continuity that Northwestern had, returning all their seniors, you know, a lot of guys are coming back. We talked about it last week. This Terp squad's got 50-some new players.
56.
56 new players on their squad that are getting acclimated. There were no powder puff games to get started against to kind of work through things. This was it for us.
And you can see, practices.
Yeah, you can just see how much more prepared Northwestern was than we were.
Now, if you don't watch Birdland BS, this will sound like some revisionist history because we waited to actually see some stuff. But if you want to check last Tuesday's show, Fred did give some credit where credit is due to Talia, and that he made piss poor decisions in this game, throwing into triple coverage.
Right.
But the ball went exactly where he wanted the ball to go.
And that was kind of my point. So if you are a listener to Birdland BS, you would have heard Scott and I kind of go back and forth on this. Scott was frustrated with the way Talia played in that game, and I get it. I think we all were frustrated, right? He threw three interceptions.
Which we're used to as Terps fans.
Unfortunately, yes. But what I saw in that game was, again, to your point, I saw bad decisions. I didn't necessarily see bad throws. The balls that he was throwing were 50-50 balls. They should have never been thrown, but they were 50-50 balls. My comparison was to Josh Jackson last year. Josh Jackson makes those same throws last year. They're 15 yards over everybody's head. Nobody has a chance at catching it. And it's you could see the talent with Talia. You knew the accuracy was there. It was just...
He was shook.
I think he was shook. He got that first interception. Yes. And I think the nerves of the entire game and the whole situation kind of set in, and it carried through. But I wasn't hard on him. I wasn't down on him. I could see the potential. A lot of fans were on next. Social networks, social media.
Next.
Yeah. Claiming that they wanted Lance coming in. It's way too early to give up on this kid.
Yeah.
And man, it really paid off in the next week.
I wasn't calling for his head. I mean, you watch the game with me, you know that. But yeah. I did think that maybe seeing Lance early in the fourth quarter instead of late in the fourth quarter would have been a similar message that Locke sent, which is this is your team, but like we would have got a little bit more practice under Lance. The same thing you said. There are no real practices. There are no real scrimmages. So
right.
You've always tried to get your backup a little bit of work in case.
Right.
So I did want to see him a little bit earlier, but. But one drive looked good enough against their eighth string players since, as you said, we had 9 ball carriers for Northwestern.
Yeah, I mean, Northwestern ran the ball down our throats. And, I mean, they pretty much had everybody out there running against us. I'm pretty sure I saw a water boy come off the bench and run. 9 players in one game ran the ball against us in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, unreal. 325 yards on the ground.
And then we also saw that even in that terrible game, there was a cleaner pocket than at the end of last year where it was just all hell breaking loose around there.
Yeah.
So we did see some benefits. We saw basically nothing on the defense. We did give credit that Chance Campbell had, I think, 15 tackles last week, which meant the defensive linemen were occupying some blockers because otherwise they're going to get up that second level and Chance Campbell's not going to make 15 tackles.
Right.
But it just wasn't enough.
And I think one of the big things that I took away from that Northwestern game is obviously we got blown out, right? We lost 43-3. But what I wanted to see change going into the Minnesota game is I wanted to see more balance on offense. We got behind real early in that game. We completely abandoned the run. Jake Funk only had a few carries in that game. We didn't really get to see what this running game potential could be. Now, granted, one of our top backs and Teyon Fleet Davis hasn't been out there, and he wasn't out there for that first game, and he wasn't out there for the Minnesota game. But we have Jake Funk back there. We've got a couple of freshmen in Isaiah Jacobs and Big Boy. big boy.
I knew Petty Boone was big, but he was coming at 225. He's at 245. Now he looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
If this guy can keep up his speed at this size and really acclimate to the. There aren't going to be many linebackers stepping in his way.
Right. For sure. So, all right, so let's move on. Let's move on to the Minnesota game. Happier days.
We'll press pause.
Okay.
Let's review what our expectations of Minnesota were after that game.
Okay.
What we were looking to see before we say what we did see.
All right.
So what I was looking to see, because we did see some talent on the offense that did nothing. They got 3 points.
Right.
Now, granted, they could have got 10 because they kind of – didn't let Lance score that touchdown at the end of the game and ran the ball with 9 seconds on the clock. I didn't like that, Lux. I wanted to see my offense score a touchdown there, even in garbage time. But we wanted to see something in the offense. I was hoping for 21 points from the offense to see some resemblance of a pass game, that the pocket actually stayed cleaner like it did last year. I still expected us to lose about 38-21. That was what, and I would have been happy with that.
Yeah,
if we would have lost 38-21, I'll be like, all right, we're back about where I expected us to be.
Yeah.
Got much better than that, didn't we?
Yeah, I'd say so. I to your point, I was hopeful that we would see progression in the offense. Obviously, it couldn't get a whole lot worse, but I really wanted to see Talia start working some of the underneath routes, not taking and making the bad decisions and taking the deep shots down the field. Now, if they give it to you, you've got one-on-one coverage, take those shots, but not throwing into 3-man coverage. Getting those shots, using his mobility, that's one of the big things that I wanted to see in this game. And, man, he did all of the above.
I just didn't have faith in us. One of our weaknesses when we're going into this year, we thought, was offensive line at first. But now with the coming of our opt-ins and things, our offensive line, it's really the offensive line depth is our problem. We got to stay healthy. We'll be okay.
Right.
And then our cornerbacks, our defensive backs are one of our weaknesses. And going against who's supposed to be an NFL you know, top pick, number zero out there at Minnesota. I didn't expect anything from us. I didn't think we could stop them, but they just decided not to throw the ball at all. It's pretty much how right. that game went for them.
Right. No, that's very true. That's very true. All right. So let's focus in on Talia here and his performance. And I mean, because in my opinion, this was probably one of the best performances by a Terps quarterback. And I can't tell you how long. I can't think of a single performance by a Terps quarterback in all the years that I've watched Terps in my life. I just can't think of a better performance.
Yeah, I mean, he did it all. He ran, he was throwing the ball, he was throwing the ball on the run. He got everyone involved, he distributed the ball evenly. He did everything you would ask in a quarterback.
Six players on this Terps squad with three catches or more. That's about as good as you can be as far as spreading the ball around, making sure you're going through your progressions like a quarterback should, right? Obviously, the offensive line is giving him the time to be able to do that. That was a big concern of ours moving forward was the play of the offensive line.
And pretty much all those have to be, well, you get Jake Funk, I'm sure, and then just wide receivers, because you didn't have any other running backs really play in this game, and we don't have any tight end production. So it's just he's putting all his wide receivers and he's distributed out equally.
Right.
Let's get down the field, boys.
And your two big boys at wide receiver, Dante Demas and Jayshon Jones, both had over 100 yards receiving in this game.
And Rakeem looked good too. Rakeem actually showed what we were also hyped about. Like it's there. Like it will get better from here still, but it's there. You could tell, you could see that that's a grown man out there as a true freshman.
And what I liked about him, I saw a tweet that he put out earlier today. I guess some family members and some friends were giving him some flack about going out of bounds, saying that he was soft. He's like, noted. I like that, man, because this kid, he's got the size, even for a freshman.
Yeah.
He's got the size, he's got the build, he's got the strength. I'd love to see him be able to catch those balls on the sidelines, turn it upfield.
There's certain talents that just physically have it different.
Yeah.
And we saw that in Nick Cross last year.
Right.
And this year we see that in Ruben Hippolyte and Rakeem Jarrett.
Right.
There are talents at freshmen a lot. There are some people that are fully developed grown men at 18 rolling into college. And those are the boys there that were this year.
Yep. And I think another part of Talia's game that I talked about going into this season, I think that was kind of the untalked about factor, was his underrated mobility. And we saw that in this game. He had the long touchdown run, which Jake Funk kind of led the way, sort of. It is blocking for him.
Jake Funk had one of the best games of his life, but I did talk a lot of trash in that play. He looked completely lost. He was running in front of him, but he kept head looking around. And Talia's like literally pointing at somebody he once blocked. And Jayshon Jones has to come out of nowhere to take out that last blocker. I don't know. It was very interesting. I'd like to, as good as his game was, I would like to ask Jake, what were you doing? Jake, hit me up. What did you just, were you so shocked that we were doing this?
And then the other factor of his game, the one question that you always kind of worry about with a young quarterback, remember, Tali is a sophomore, right? One of the things, he's only playing in his second start as a collegiate quarterback, you wonder how they're going to do playing from behind. Do they have that it factor? Do they have that clutch factor, right? Is their clutch Madden rating high, right?
Because last week when we got behind, he thought he could score three touchdowns if he just threw the ball deeper.
Right.
And it didn't work.
Right.
This game, he stuck with it.
Down 17 points going into the fourth quarter, leads them back, ties the game up, and wins in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, on a rushing touchdown by himself, as it should. It should. That's how the game should have ended, is with him doing that, because it was a coming out party, and I hope we get to see a lot more of it.
Right.
A lot more of it.
And one of the things we kind of brushed on, we got to talk about, I think one of the biggest improvements from this offense from last year to this year, so far, again, it's only two games, the offensive line play. I know our buddy, friend of the show, Ellis McKinney, who was on the offensive line last year, said that getting Johnny Jordan and solidifying that center position was going to be a big addition for this team late. Austin Fontaine comes back into the role. You've got, you know, a couple of good tackles on the end. I'm telling you, Tali has got twice as much, if not three times the amount of time in that pocket than any quarterback had last year.
So, question for you. We haven't discussed this at all. Austin Fontaine is back in the fold at practice, but he hasn't played at all.
Right.
Has he lost his job as good as that line looked?
I don't know. For me, at this point, I just that speaks to the depth we talk about. Like, oh, if we get one or two injuries on this offensive line, things change. I mean,
we need him. Don't get me wrong. We right. need him on the team. But is he a second string replacement? If you that pocket was clean the whole night. The whole night it was clean.
I don't think you mess with it.
Why would you? Like, if they're because also offensive lines, we've talked, no matter how talented you are, it is a team game.
Right.
You can put all pro left tackle out there. If the rest of the line sucks, your quarterback's going down.
And, so, and not just in pass protection. We talked about the game that Jake Funk had in this game.
200 yards.
He wasn't touched at the line of scrimmage. So they're opening holes that a tractor trailer could run through. I mean, there were at least 7 or 8 plays that I can tell you Jake Funk ran through that line and wasn't touched for the first 6 or 7 yards.
Yep. I mean, we've been waiting for this for Jake Funk. So Jake Funk's freshman numbers, if you go back and look, were out of this world. They were really serious, but then he kind of got buried behind Ty Johnson and Anthony McFarland. You can go back to our signing day special or our opening kick for on Birdland BS on Chalentale. Right. I've been like singing Jake Funk's praises every year, and I'm just either I'm not proved wrong. I'm
Coach
just,
Funk.
I'm just proved ACL. That's what I'm proved ACL every year. And so this potential was there. He's the leading rusher in Maryland high school history.
Right.
This is hopefully. Not a one-off. Hopefully this is something we can continue. And this is also the first time that we just have a bell cow back. Like, that was one of the things that we talked about last year, that like
the rotation,
the benefit of these guys being fresh and not being worn out. I mean, that Minnesota running back had over 40 carries in that game.
Yeah.
40 yeah. carries?
Unreal.
I mean, he's great, and he's from Baltimore. Good
he had
for
five,
him.
He had, what, four was, or five touchdowns in the first
four
half?
Four touchdowns. I think. The only, five would have been the record, right. And somehow they could not get him in there. I'm sad that kind of talent left Maryland, but that you're going to be worn down. Like, does the NFL want somebody that had 40 carries a game for every game of their college career?
Right.
It's sad
that that talent left Maryland, but that was also during the time they were recruiting Anthony McFarland, Javon Leak, and all these guys that are now in the NFL, right? So he would have been, unfortunately, lost in the depth chart until this year, yeah. Right? So I get it. Like, it's a guy that's local that you want to land everybody local. But nonetheless, Jake Funk, 21 carries, 216 yards on the ground, a 10.3 average. Just kudos to him. And it just goes to speak to the work ethic, how much time he put in the gym and rehabbing his body. And, I mean, it's paying dividends for him.
Yeah, it's a good. His brother, the physical therapist, yeah. is getting some free advertising right now. Dr. Josh Funk, I think it is. Good Twitter follow. Enjoy. He's a big Maryland fan. Reps his brother well.
Yeah.
He's playing with a big chip on his shoulder. I think we're going to see a lot more of this. If we're going to talk about all the great that came out, I guess we do have to talk about the one blemish.
Yeah.
Talia's interception.
Yeah.
So he throws a screen pass, gets over the line originally,
yeah.
and somebody's dropping back, tips it in the air, and just happens to drop in a big boy's breadbasket. We got to see one of them bumbling, stumbling
now,
interceptions.
I get it. It's an interception. I don't put that on Talia. Like, it wasn't a bad decision.
Nope.
He did get it over. The guy made a play.
Yeah.
The guy's an athlete. He made a play.
A little bit more air on the ball, but it's still, sometimes they make a play too.
You know? Right, exactly. But one of the things I thought was crucial, and it speaks to the leadership on this team, is right after that interception, we saw Chance Campbell run out on the field and get right into Leah's ear and tell him, we got you.
Yep.
Keep your mind right. We got you.
Yeah. And I mean, that we can't stress how big that is, because like we said, last week we saw that he had the talent, but he got in his head with the interception. Yeah. So this week, with the defense that's been struggling all game, falling apart, Your defensive leader in Chance Campbell, your Dick Butkus.
Yeah, I really do. I think he's rightfully so should be in that conversation right now. Granted, we're only two games into the season.
He's got to keep this going, but if he keeps this going, he should be in the conversation, absolutely. And he gets out there and says, we got you.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Talia believed him as bad as they were playing at that point, but he was right. They got him. They started getting stops, and the offense kept clicking. That offense should have scored on every time they touched the ball.
Right.
Every time. So, I mean, we almost did. Yeah. Let's talk about some of the drives that we didn't score. Right. So, you get down to the 6-yard line, and Deshaun Jones gets a crack back block.
Yeah.
Penalty. What is that? That's what football is.
Yeah.
It's the defender's job to keep your head on a swivel and not get blown up by the guy coming back. Where do you, what do you think they're doing? That's the, it's the worst rule in college football. I hate it.
It's a bad
rule. I hate it.
It's a bad rule, but they're going to call it. They're going to call it most of the time. So
I want to know what was he allowed to do in that situation? Can he just like set a block? Can he go and stand in front of him, let the guy run into him, or is that also a penalty? Like, I need to know how far
this
goes.
You got to sell it. It can't look intent. It can't look intentional.
The intent was to score a touchdown. Like, that's what football was. Yeah. Like, I just don't – I don't know enough here, and I need a rule specialist. If you're not allowed to touch somebody that's not looking at you, you can't make a play.
Yeah.
Like, the defender could just never look, just ever, just turn his head to the side and run downfield.
And I got to ask you a question. I'm a big Joshon Jones fan. I like him. I think he's a good athlete. Obviously, he sprung onto the scene as a freshman, had one of the biggest games, opening up games in Texas. We all know, right, everything he's done. He comes back, and to me, he looks like he's playing a little cocky. There, I mean, I don't know if you saw on that touchdown catch that he had, he gets to about the 20-yard line and just kind of slow foots it the rest of the way to the end zone.
Kind of while a defender is it in there.
Yeah, in that way, showboating. I get it. I get it. Wide receivers, yeah. Most of them have a little bit of diva in
it. That was my question. What position did he play for?
Yeah, he has a little bit of diva in him, but I don't know. It's little things like that that, like, earn it.
I think it's unfortunate. A lot of things in that game. I think that, like I said, that blocking penalty is unfortunate. It might be part of the rules, but it doesn't feel like it should be. And I don't think this was part of the rules of him. I think him playing high school, that block gets him on a highlight tape and gets him into college. Right. So I just a couple of years ago, that's completely legal. I think that the penalty at the end of the game is just the risk of calling that play. He gets an offensive pass interference on a pick play. It's designed to be a pick play. Every time you run that.
Again, it's about selling it.
Yeah, it's about selling it. The question, which we'll get into, is why the hell Locks would call that then? But I do think the play you're discussing, where he throttles all the way down, I was very upset with him. Yeah. Now you can go back and watch the tape. The reason I was very upset with him is he throttled down so much that a defender got so close to him that Rakeem Jarrett reaches out with his left hand to the defender's shoulder pad.
To slow him down.
Which could have very easily been called holding and stopped that touchdown.
Yep.
You can't throttle down to that point. You can't. And there's no point. Score the touchdown. Do you know what insults somebody the most? Running up the score. Do you remember what it felt like against Penn State last year? Them running up the score on you? Just go do that. Right. You standing over them and talking shit doesn't matter. They hear it every day. They hear it from bums like me in the stands talking trash to them.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Run the score up. Do that. Do what you felt against Penn State. Do what you felt against Ohio State. Go own somebody on the field. I get you're going to have attitude. I get you're going to have swagger. It's part of what makes you and what makes you great.
I'm not trying to take the fun out of the game. There's just certain things.
And again, a lot of those problems, I support you. Like, that wasn't your fault. But I hope Locke's got in his ear and showed big red circle around Rakeem that he didn't pull, but it still was contact and it could have been called.
Right.
And then we don't know if we score on that drive. Right. So that was the big play that really you need to get that in check. Outside of that, it's what makes him him.
Yeah.
My man is confident. And I'm amazed that he came back so confident. He missed a whole year. And honestly, the end of his freshman year, like we've talked about, was not as impressive with the beginning of his freshman year. Right. But he came back knowing he was going to do this.
Yeah.
Like, full on knowing this is what it was going to show up. And I hope it keeps happening.
All right, so let's move on to the defensive side of the ball. Like we talked about, Chance Campbell, I think, is the one bright spot right now on the defensive side of the ball. We're still continuing both of these games, Northwestern and Minnesota, getting gouged on the ground. One of the things that I've noticed over the last 2 weeks is it seems like this defense struggles with contain and struggles with setting the edge against the run. Am I seeing that correct?
I think you are seeing that correct. We're getting a little bit better at just the straight ahead runs. We're not getting pushed around quite as much. We're getting production out of our JUCO transfers from Independence College. And we've got like a nice almost 5 DT rotating through there, keeping fresh. But yeah, the contain's not there. The outside linebacker play is not as good as I was expecting. I thought our linebacker core was like a real bright spot. And so far, Chance Campbell is the bright spot.
Right.
I thought we had, you know, five linebackers that could start in the Big Ten, and we've seen one.
Right.
So hopefully they're just a slow learning curve. We saw a light years jump on offense this week. If we can get even half that jump on defense in this week of practice, I'll be real happy. I just don't. Our questions mostly go back to the defensive coordinator. I don't get it. I don't know what John Hoke's doing. He seems stubborn. He doesn't seem to want to play to his players. He doesn't seem to want to change, you know, the setup for the talents that you have.
Right.
And I mean, I guess maybe we saw that today with our decommitment of our local D tackle. So
yeah. Unfortunately, we did lose a commitment for the 2021 class, defensive lineman Marcus Bradley, a local four-star recruit that was one of the early commits, one of the big guys. He brought his teammate Damian Robinson with him. So obviously that's one of the fears now is does Robinson stay or go? Everything I've hearing so far is that he's solid, that he's staying.
Luckily, I think that was the other way. I think Damian Robinson brought him.
Oh, you're right.
So if it was the other direction, I'm hoping this is fine. I'm hoping everything's good. Now, like, look, I get, again, John Hoke has got some question marks on him. Now, he picked you, so hopefully you fit his system better than the players that were already here.
Right.
Some of the complaints by Marcus Bradley that Maryland's having trouble getting sacks. Yeah, that's why we have you coming. That's your right. job. You yeah. decide how many sacks you get.
Yeah, apparently
Ngakoue didn't have any problem getting sacks here.
Yeah, apparently he didn't like the 3-4 setup and the lack of pressure on the quarterbacks. And to your point, like that's what this whole 2021 class was built around. A whole new defensive line loaded with talent, 4-star talent across the board. We had 4 defensive linemen, 4 4-star commitments on this team, and they were supposed to be the change.
Yep. We still have Zion Shockley,
yeah.
Tommy Akabensito,
right.
And then obviously we talked about Chop Youngbo.
Right.
We still got a really good defensive line. That's the best defensive line haul we've had in a long time without him. I don't blame you guys, you commitments, if you want to go to Locks and say, hey, look, I'll come play for John Hoke, but if you also want to get rid of John Hoke, I'm still coming to play for you. I'd kind of appreciate that phone call, honestly, because I have this hesitation of like our best commitments are on the defensive side. Why am I missing something? Like, is this guy actually good and we just don't have the talent there? Hopefully that's true. Hopefully John Hoke's great and once we get some people in here, but I think you got to use the players you got, and some of it's probably us being wrong.
Yeah,
we were talking before the show, like, I really saw Nick Cross as being this ball hawking free safety.
And I think part of that is the amazing play that he made last year on the sideline, the interception that he came out of nowhere.
Yeah, on his very first start, I believe, very first game time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he looks the part as far as being able to be that rangy free safety guy. But everything that that you read about this kid when he was coming out of high school says that he's, you know, more of the mold of a strong safety kind of guy, that Antoine Brooks kind of guy where you can line him up inside, you can line him up in the box, you can line him up as a linebacker. He's very versatile in that sense. But I would like to see him in coverage a little bit more because the small sample size that we had last year, he looked great.
Yeah, and right now Mosley's not cutting it. I mean, right. There was some plays that weren't working. I'm not saying he's not going to be good eventually. I'm not saying maybe it's just a learning curve with the season as is. But right now he was out of position on the touchdown last week. He was complete. He sprinted there. He got there and ran behind the wide receiver.
Right.
That wasn't where the ball was going.
So the other thing I want to ask you about, talking about best players and putting them in the right positions, right? So we all know the level that Chance Campbell is playing at the middle linebacker position, right? But we also talk about contain, setting the edge, and really adding athleticism and speed to the linebacker core outside of Chance Campbell. Why is Ruben Hippolyte not on the field?
I don't know.
We did not see him in Minnesota at all.
At all. And we did see him in Northwestern
a little bit in garbage time later in the game,
a little garbage time. I mean, garbage time was so fast there that I guess first quarter was garbage time in Northwestern. So, but I think we saw him a little bit at the end of the first half, and he played a decent number of snaps. I am a big, while we're rebuilding, I think you play your best 11 athletes and you figure out where they go. which is why me and John Hoke don't see eye to eye here. Because John Hoke wants to play his defense in his positions and figure out which one of these players fits that description of that position best. And I want to go, you 11 people are better than you 22 people, and I'm going to figure out where to put you 11 people.
Right.
And Ruben's in that 11 people. There's no doubt in my mind that physically and hopefully mentally, he seems to be a good student of the game. He played great. His high school tape's insane.
Right.
He should be in that 11 people. It's not there. I don't know if it's just the fact that he plays middle linebacker and we happen to have a serious middle linebacker.
Right? We do. But I just think outside linebacker, regardless if he's labeled as a middle linebacker,
put
right?
Him in corner. I don't care.
You put Chance Campbell in the middle and you have Ayinde Lee on one side and you've got Ruben Hippolyte on the other side. You've got serious athleticism. You've got athletes on both sides of the, on both sides of the line there. I think that gives you your best shot at containing the run.
No, I think you're right. And I think we'll see him. I mean, how long did it take us to get Nick Cross on the field last year?
Yeah.
In a regular season, I would not be so pressed to why we're not seeing Ruben more.
Right.
Number one, I don't think Ruben's staying here more than 3 years because I think he's an absolute lock for an NFL talent unless he gets hurt.
I agree with that.
So that's why I'm saying we don't need to save a red shirt. Let's get him out here. Number two, we only got 8 games. Right. let's see this kid. Let's see what we got. I mean, you want to keep your defensive commitments? Show them that the boys you brought in are getting work. Show them the boys you got brought in are changing it. Because, yes, our defense has been bad for a while.
Yeah.
For a while. So show them that we're changing in the right direction. But I think we'll see him. Maybe for some reason he does think this is a redshirt year, and then probably you won't see him this week or against Ohio State. You're going to see him to win some games at the end of the year.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know why we wouldn't see him. I hope it has nothing to do with Twitter.
Yeah, I hope not. I'm not even going to go there. I hope not either.
Let's just say.
But I know what you're referring to.
Mommy's Twitter account wasn't glowing about Locks, or not directly at Locks, but just, you know, why isn't my boy playing kind of thing, which, you know, it's college. Let your boy make those arguments. We'll see. Maybe he did argue. Maybe that's why he's not there. We'll find out.
All right. Well, on the offensive side of the ball, right, we talk about how great Jake Funk has looked, and especially against this Minnesota team. One of the areas that we talked about that we weren't real sure on what we had, freshman running backs, Zaya Jacobs and Penny Boone. So far, I know you haven't been very happy with Jacobs back returning kicks, right?
He's the kicks.
Fumble issues.
I think he looks good as a running back.
But we haven't seen him enough as a running back.
I mean,
they haven't given him enough opportunities.
That's true. I think
same thing with Penny Boone. Like right now, you've got Teyon Fleet Davis on the sidelines for whatever reasons it may be, whether it's, you know, academic, whether it's still issues from last year pending, whatever it is, he's not in there, right? I love what Jake Funk's doing, but how long can he last being a single back there? They need more backs back there taking some reps to at least spell him.
Yeah.
And they're not.
I was surprised that Jake Funk got all the run he did this week because against Northwestern, again, garbage
time. Are you going to take him off the field?
No.
But the way he was running?
But when did you know that? Like, and also,
it started right away.
And also, part of what you said was the offensive line had holes so big he wasn't getting touched for 10 yards. So unless the other running backs just are not finding that hole, if they're just not following the play.
I'm going to tell you one thing, and it didn't bode well for him. Penny Boone fumbling on the goal line.
Penny Boone had one touch and one fumble.
Yeah. That's going to put you in anybody's doghouse.
That was another one of those drives we should have scored on. Dante Dimas gets down, extends the ball while stepping out of bounds. I personally believe that he crossed the goal line with that ball while he stepped out of bounds. They did not bother reviewing it. They quickly ran to the line to get a snap off and handed the ball for the first time to a running back other than Jake Funk on the 1 yard line. Very strange decision. Didn't love that. Fumbled the ball into the end zone, and it was a turnover, which made me like it a lot less.
Yeah.
Another one of the ones we didn't score on and should have.
Right. But you're asking why we're not seeing the freshman running backs out there. Well, again, if your one touch is a fumble on the goal line, you're not going to get a ton of carries.
But even versus Northwestern, Penny Boone was very clearly the three back.
Yeah.
Because Isaiah Jacobs was running with the ball way earlier than Penny Boone got in there. We were already so depressed it wasn't funny when Penny Boone got in there. We both looked at each other and go, who was that guy?
Right. And then I guess the last thing, kind of heading into this Penn State week, some of the things and criticism that Mike Locksley's getting for some of the decision making over the first two games. I know that's got you concerned.
Yeah. I mean, we already talked about how is that the first carry for your freshman running back on the 1 yard line?
Right.
Why are you rushing to the line in that situation? Why are you not letting people take a look at it?
Yeah.
It didn't seem to have any benefit to get into that position.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing that kind of blew my mind with Locksley is going into halftime.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've got a timeout left to either throw a Hail Mary or kick a very long field goal.
You mean going into overtime?
I'm sorry, going into overtime. I said halftime. Yeah, going into overtime. You got to set a chance to win the game by either kicking a field goal, a very long field goal, albeit, but
a bomb.
Petrino hit, what, a 52-yarder earlier in that game?
And donked a 51-yarder, which was the only other drive.
And he had room on that 52-yarder that he made, right? He had room. So I'm not saying he couldn't have made that kick. I get it if you're not. But at least give your offense a shot. Talia's played the game of his life. He's on a hot streak, right? He just led this team on a fourth quarter comeback.
You have five wide receivers.
Yeah.
This is the deepest wide receiver room we've ever seen. You have Dante Demas. Have you seen the size of Dante Demas?
A jump ball.
He is the Hail Mary wide receiver. Yeah, it makes sense. But I don't even think we should have got there. Let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
We get the ball on the 40-yard line after a Jake Funk run.
Oh, right.
You're already in basically field goal range, you've shown from your field goal kicker. I turn to Fred and say, that ball doesn't go in the air anymore. I said, hand that ball to Funk 3 to 10 times, depending on if you get to a fourth down, and this game's over. And the very next play, he calls a run, a throw. We don't get an interception. What do we get? We get a 15-yard Jashawn Jones offensive pass interference on a pick play. If you're going to throw the ball, which is already a stupid decision, you don't call a pick play.
Right.
It's literally designed
a high-risk play.
It's designed to be illegal.
Right.
I don't care who you want to talk. That's what the play is. The play is designed to be illegal. It's like holding. We know it happens on every play. If it's real bad, you're going to get called for it. So let's call it a 50-50. I'll even give you a 30-70. You might get called for it. So you never call that play in that position. You're already in a winning field position. You took yourself out of it with a terrible play call.
You've got a running back averaging 10 yards a carry.
Look, I
you've got a timeout left.
I don't want to shit on Locksley because the question in Locksley is, can he recruit? Check. Yes, he can. The other question is, can he coach? Half check. This week is the very first time that I saw out of Locksley's team what I saw out of Matt Canada's team. These guys played for each other. These guys played for that coach. They didn't get down on themselves when they got down. They didn't get down on themselves when they had the interception. They played the exact same snap one and snap 400.
You know, I'm going to bring up something that you and I haven't even talked about yet. We had said when we were watching the game early in the first quarter, Nick Cross wasn't on the field. We didn't see Nick Cross on the field, right, at all, for at least 9/10 of the first quarter. So we started questioning, did something happen?
No Ruben, no Nick Cross. Where's my talent? Why isn't it on the field?
Did something happen in practice? Did he get hurt? Like, did something happen that we weren't sure, you know, what was going on with the situation? Saw Nick Cross come out on the field. Guys are making plays and jumping around and looking happy. Nick Cross is just kind of walking off the field. Didn't look great. So I hadn't told you this yet, but after the game, I went on to Instagram and was watching some of the live feeds from some of the players that were posting their Instagram lives from the locker room. Nick Cross was in good spirits. He was pumped. He was cheering with his team. So maybe there was something to it, like, that happened in practice and it was kind of an isolated incident. But coaching, talking about Locksley, right? If there was an incident, I will give him credit for not making it public. Handling, I don't think anybody on the news broadcast even brought it up. Nobody said anything about it.
We still don't know why we don't have a running back.
Right.
We don't really understand what's going on with Chigakonwo.
This is the
Bill Belichick style coaching.
I like that.
We have no idea. We don't. It's good. It is good.
Keeping things close to the vest.
And what's amazing is we've talked about what has Locksley been most. Completely accessible. The whole program is more and more accessible. Yeah. You see more and more about it. It's great access. But the stuff that doesn't need to get out is not getting out. It's great. Again, half of the coaching was not checked because you need to see it more than one game.
Right.
But I was very happy with that side of coaching. The decision making, I just, there were so many. Why at 4th and 2, the only punt of the game, 4th and 2 on the 40-yard line, your defense hasn't stopped anybody yet on a single drive other than the very first drive of the game. There was a 3 and out.
Right.
And you're on the 40 and you punt the ball. If they've been driving 80 yards on you every time, they're either going to drive 80 or they're going to drive 60. Why are you not going for it there?
Right.
There were just so many just little things just piled up that I didn't like. Locksley luckily didn't have to answer many of them. The only thing I saw him ask about was the fact that why didn't you call a timeout for a Hail Mary? He would have had to answer every one of these questions if we lost that game. All of them.
Right.
And luckily, he didn't have to answer them. And he doesn't have to answer me, obviously. And Locksley knows way more about football than I've ever thought about or looked about or dreamed about. But I think that even he would agree that some of those decisions were strange. It just happened to work.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah. So that, I mean, listen, the decision making is something that he owned, though. Like they, when they asked him about, you know, the not going for the field goal there, or at least throwing a Hail Mary, like he owned that he took that, you know, on the chin. I just need to see improvement in that.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a huge test coming up this week. I know Penn State's 0-2. But
still Penn State.
It's still Penn State. Penn State has had our number. They've beaten us over the last 3 games like 160-something to 6. It has not been pretty the last 3 games against Penn State. This is going to be a challenge.
You know Diggs called Rock this week, right? Had to.
Yeah.
Diggs was so big in his recruitment.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the last time we beat Penn State, I beat Penn State. What are you going to do, Rock? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Penn State, man, coming off of 2 big losses, an opening loss to a surprising loss to Indiana. 36-35 in a questionable win in overtime for Indiana, right?
Yeah.
It came but down to it. They should have never been in overtime against Indiana.
There were so many questionable reffing decisions that let Penn State get back into that game.
True. And then obviously this week they lost to number 3 Ohio State 38-25. That was kind of a predictable game. You know, Ohio State is one of the best football teams in the country. So
I was listening to SVP Pod. And they asked him, what do you know about the Big Ten this year before the season started? And he said, Ohio State's great. And anybody that tells you anything else about the Big Ten's lying to you. Right. And then nobody knows.
Right.
And he's been so right.
Right.
Rutgers wins week 1 against Michigan State. And then Michigan State beats Michigan.
I know.
That's the year we're having.
Yeah.
We lost to Northwestern, who was 3-9, and beat Minnesota, who beat us 63-0, whatever it was last year. It felt terrible.
Yeah. The Big Ten is all over the place right now. It's a shortened season. There's no powder puffs. We're going straight into Big Ten play.
We're still on track for my 4 wins. Let's do it.
We are. Still 1-1, right? All right. So do the Terps coming in to Penn State, 25-point dogs. Do we even stand a chance in this game? I got to tell you, like, we all know defensively our issues, right? This is one team that doesn't scare me on the ground. So this is why I think we actually have a decent shot at potentially winning this game, or at least keeping this game close. Their leading rusher right now is their quarterback, Sean Clifford.
Yep, and that's why I'm scared, because Maryland has been terrible against mobile quarterbacks in the past. We have played 2 statues. One beat the absolute hell out of us, and the other one barely passed the ball and didn't do anything against us. So this mobile one, I don't know. We haven't seen it at all.
Yeah,
and it scares me a bit.
Okay,
but there's the running backs, yeah, not that scared. There's not going to be a 41 carry, 200 yard game like we just saw against us.
All right. Well, what do you think you do with a dual threat quarterback like this? I mean, this is a guy. He's 42 of 65. He's throwing for 65% completion, 519 yards, 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So we can still throw the ball too, right? He is a true dual threat quarterback. How does this defense stop somebody like this?
Well, the normal answer is a QB spy. Then the question is, who is your QB spy?
Right.
I don't think, even though you would want to make it Chance Campbell because he's amazing, I don't think you can take him out of what he's been doing. I think you let him go get his 15 tackles. I think you hope that an Ace Ely or somebody of that nature, Agate Fote, was that the other?
Yeah.
The other linebacker that has a chance of doing it. You can rotate those guys through it. You can stick one of them to it, whatever it is. I think you leave Chance Campbell out of that QB spy game because you don't want to lose what he's doing right now.
Right.
We need that. That's the one solid, like, icon of this defense. Chance Campbell going to get his.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's probably the smartest approach, especially with a mobile quarterback. Like, this is why he does. It doesn't scare me as best. I mean, that's their best weapon is their quarterback. Our best weapon is our middle linebacker. And if his assignment is to keep an eye on Clifford, I like our chances there. I think his athleticism, talking about Campbell, and his speed will be enough to keep up with Clifford. Because outside of that, sophomore Devin Ford is the head back with 28 carries for 105 yards. He doesn't scare me. He doesn't scare me. Now, granted, that was running against an Ohio State defense. You know, Maryland's defensive line is a little different than Ohio State, but I still, I legit, if we're 25 point dogs, I'm not expecting to win this game. I'm not going to go crazy and say after one game, the one win against Minnesota, that we're going to win this game. I think we can keep this game close.
I'd like to win this game.
Yeah.
I don't expect to win this game. It wasn't in my count at the beginning of the year. It's still not, even at 0-2, it's still not in my count.
Right.
I'd like to beat the spread. I'd like to keep it a 14-point game. I think that's 17 points I'm happy. 14, I'm pretty damn happy.
I think if we keep it under the spread, I'm happy.
25 points? So 24-point loss, you're good.
I'm happy. Yeah.
How many points we have to score in that 24-point loss for it to be okay? Because I think that matters to me.
Why I still think we need to be – we need to show what we showed against Minnesota again, right? We need to be able to – now, I'm not saying completely duplicated. I'm not expecting Jake Funk to go out there and rush for over 200 yards against a Penn State defense who has a lot of speed and athleticism, right? I want to make sure that Talia doesn't let this game become too big for him. And that whole clutch factor that we talked about, that whole cool and calm under pressure – continues in this game. Everybody going into this game knows how big of a rivalry this is, right? And knows that Penn State has waxed the floor with us over the last three meetings, right? They know that. Can Talia come in there, still have that cool, calm, and collected, you know, attitude and approach, still be on target with his throws? If I can see that and we're scoring, you know, 28 plus points in this game and we still cover the spread, I'm happy.
Yeah, I think I was actually one touchdown below you there. I think if we score 21 and cover the spread, I could be okay with it. You got to see this offense. We know this offense actually has talent. We saw that even in the 43-3 loss.
Right.
So we got to see that actually show up. Our defense, we got players.
Looked a lot better in the second half of that game. That fourth quarter, when they needed to shut Minnesota down, they did.
They did. And hopefully they can build on that, and they can, like I said, take that jump that the offense did the week before. If we score 21 to 28 points, I guess I would be okay with covering the spread.
Right.
Because they have other weapons. It's not just the quarterback and running back. They have a wide receiver that's putting up crazy numbers.
Yeah, their wide receiver, yeah. Dotson, man. That kid, he's making one-handed catches, super athletic. It is,
12 for 238, four TDs, which is almost half of the passing yards at 519 for the team. Right. That man is dominating. Past that, they actually don't really have another wide receiver that's putting anything up. They
good
do
tight
have
end,
a tight
though.
End, yeah. They have 6'5", 258,
Pat Freiermuth.
Freiermuth. He's right out of Eastern Germany. Freiermuth.
10 catches for 106 yards and one touchdown in two games. So that's going to create some matchup problems.
That's your other outside linebacker. Whoever's not spying gets him.
That's why I say I really want to see Ruben in this game. I want to see his ability to cover. I want to see his speed in this game. We're going to need that to cover these tight ends. We haven't gone against a good athletic pass catching tight end yet.
Yeah. You need him somewhere. Cause you got one guy that's got to cover this tight end. You got one guy that's got to spy. And right. So you're going to be running your quarterback, your linebackers.
Right.
So we got to get him in there, at least in the rotation. Maybe they're not going to start him. That's just gone.
Right.
Whether that's a fake start where you just like start somebody else and put him on play three.
Right.
We've seen that a little bit out of locks, but they just won't start the freshman like this.
Right.
Our offense is going to be tested too, though. I mean, this is some of the best lineman speed that we're going to have going against.
Yeah, it's going to be a good test for the offensive line, specifically the tackles. They've definitely got speed around the edge. I got a feeling our tight ends, who haven't really been a part of the offense at all as of yet through two games, probably will continue that trend in this game. They'll probably stay in on the line to help chip and help block because, again, you got in order for this team to move the ball and score the points they're going to need to win this game or to stay in this game, Talia's got to have a clean pocket like he did against Minnesota, and they're going to need that extra help on the line.
Yeah, we keep that clean pocket. That 21 to 28 points isn't going to be a problem. The pocket is what it is. Shaka Toney and Jason Owa are definitely the fastest DNs that we've seen this year, and hopefully they hold up to it. Like you said, the tight ends chipping is big. But last week, honestly, we saw so many like five wide sets. There wasn't even a tight end on the field. So that's going to have to change up some of your play calling if you actually need those guys out there. Because the one attempt to a tight end bounced off him like it was a concrete wall.
Speaking of tight ends, I mean, do we know anything about where Chikakongwo is as far as his health, or not health, but coming back into
So Chikakongwo has been cleared by the doctors last week. This week, he has, after this Minnesota game, has joined the team in practice. Still absolutely
saw him on the sideline against Minnesota.
Yeah, he's been there. He had said that he was glad to be back with the boys, but he hadn't practiced until this week. No announcement whether he's coming back. No real announcement on what's been going on. Obviously, that's his own personal business if he doesn't want it out there. I don't know if we're going to see him this year. Maybe him and Austin Fontaine come in as reinforcements week five, like I was thinking Austin Fontaine would.
Right.
I don't know. But he would be another huge addition to this offense because right now you have wide receivers coming out your nose, but you don't have a tight end, at least for catching purposes, that scares anybody.
Right.
You move two defenders over to that position. They're not terrifying. So Chikakongwo, we had big hopes for last year. He showed some real good spurts. Shows a big play potential, I remember, especially against Rutgers. So I wish him the best, and I hope he gets back with the team soon because that could take us to a whole other level.
All right. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot here. 1-1, 25-point dogs. It's Penn State. I know they're 0-2, but it's Penn State. How do you see this game going? Prediction.
All right. Penn State's winning. I'm not going to change my prediction at the beginning of the year, even though they're 0-2. I do think it's going to be a much closer game than I expected it would be. Let's go 24-35.
Okay.
That's actually pretty competitive. I'd be pretty happy with it.
All right.
24-35.
I'm not far off, but I have it a closer game.
Oh, I thought I was be the one with the closer.
Good. I have it a closer game.
I support
game.
You, Fred, because I can.
I'm telling you, I'm a believer in this kid. I told you, Talia's success is going to depend on the offensive line, and so far the offensive line has played above either one of our expectations. I think that will continue in this game. I think they're playing inspired football right now. As long as they stay healthy, I think we'll be all right. Talia will prove that he is the real deal, right? I think Rakim gets more involved this week, even than he was last week. I look for some versatility out of the backfield, outside of just Jake Funk. I think we do get some of the freshmen some carries. Isaiah Jacobs, I think, will get the ball in this game. I've got this close. I've got Penn State winning, but it's 38-30.
38-30. Okay.
Yep.
Question for you. We talked about it a little bit. My not liking Isaiah Jacobs at the kick return.
Yeah. What's the other option?
Yeah, I mean, but are you putting him back there again? He's fumbled or bobbled, I think, 6 out of 8 attempts.
I know. I mean, we saw Rakim back there once or twice in the two games. I want to say Brian Cobbs has been back there once or twice. Nobody has wowed me. I mean, this just goes to show how much of a loss DJ Turner was, not just as a receiver, but, you know, obviously in the return game, he was huge.
He was huge. And he's been playing great up there in Pitt.
I don't know. I don't know if it's just when the lights come on.
Deeper in that wide receiver
room. I can't imagine Mike Locksley continuing to go with Isaiah Jacobs unless they see something in him in practice. And then it's like when the lights come on, it becomes too big for him. So I'm hoping that, you know, he's got two games under his belt now. Things will start to slow down for him, and maybe you'll see those jitters kind of fade away, and it'll take, you know, some of the concerns away. But
I hope they're at least practicing other guys, man. We got Dejon McDougal that could be in there. We got Nick Dejanair that could be in there. We got Dino Tomlin that could be in there. Dig deeper in that wide receiver room. You have wide receivers that would have been starting for this team any other year.
Do you think some of those wide receivers are being stashed for red shirts?
I mean, Dino's not. Dino already burned his.
Right. Dino's not. But
I think that
DeGenero, McDougal.
DeGenero already played one game. We haven't seen McDougal.
Right.
I guess they could be balancing out everybody getting 4 games for those guys because they could be 4-year players for us.
Because, I mean, you got to think. Dante Demas, he's gone. Right.
This year?
He could go as early as this year. especially if he continues to play the way he's playing.
Is Deshaun
right
Jones gone this year?
Deshaun Jones, no. I think he's still got one more year, right?
Yeah.
Rakim is going to be a three and done guy.
I tell you what, I think you're wrong here. I think that the attitude you're seeing from Deshaun Jones means he may leave and end up just where Leak is right now.
I hope not. For his sake.
Not for the Terps.
For his sake. I don't want to see him go down that Javon Leak.
How much would you like to have Leak back on this squad?
Oh, 100%.
My God.
Yeah.
They would have combined for 300 yards rushing if Jake Funk and him were there last week.
Yeah, that would have been pretty sweet to have him back. But he's not.
He's not.
He's not.
So, Deshaun Jones, just keep that in mind. Please stay for your senior year, sir.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate each and every one of you guys tuning in as always. Haven't seen anything in the email in the last couple of weeks, but if you got anything that you want to, you know, bring in and ask us, bring a part of the show, send them in to shellandtellpod@gmail.com. Hit us up on our Twitter page. Everything is at Shell and Tell. You can follow Ryan at Terps BS, but you can follow me at Fred BLBS. Appreciate you guys tuning in as always. Ryan, sign us off.
All right, man, it's Penn State week. State Penn, as we like to call them.
Yep.
Don't hate anybody else more. So let's get this going. Let's make it close. Let's take the win. Why not? Do it for the home team, boys. Until next time, here's to hoping all is well under the shell.